Well, we were asked as far as to share a little bit about how God brought us together, because when we spoke earlier, I think in chapel, and we talked about ragamuffins, well, basically, that's who we are in that manner. But that's who we were, but, you know, that's what now you see us as a result of what God has done. And after 35 years of being married, I lost my first wife to... Okay, she likes the short version. I like the pastoral version, but you know, that's all right. That's our difference. Teacher, pastor. So anyway, that's all right. So anyway, 35 and 35. You know, tragedy. I didn't know her. She didn't know me. We came to Karis Bible College in Colorado, 2004, and 2005, 2006, we graduated. Still, she was just a fellow classmate that, I just knew. They prayed for us, she had prayed for us, and my wife and myself. As I said, my wife passed away in April of 2005. I finished 2006, went back to school in 2000 to finish off, graduated 2006. I asked the Lord, what do I do? He says, do your third year and I'll take care of the rest. I just want to share this part with you to give you a testimony about time. God's time is not our time. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll go on. For her, Susan, God took her through, restored her and everything as he was restoring me on my side. What do? I want you to go back to Colombia where we did our mission trip. Second year mission trip. So she graduated May, August. She was on a plane headed to Colombia. Well, God started using her, restoring her more in Colombia, but also to use her to start teaching discipleship. And from an identity standpoint of view, identity in Christ standpoint of view, as he was restoring more and more of her. And so during that time, many different pastors got to come to the little Bible study that the pastora had in her home, and then they wanted the discipleship to be what she was teaching to be taught in their home and in their congregations and to their leadership. And so she'll tell you she's not administrative; she's just she's the teacher.
I hate that kind of word.
So this was now August and now December, and she says, "Well, I'm going back home, and I'll try to, you know, get some help as to come back with me and orchestrate this." So anyway, she contacted me since I was speak Spanish, and asked me if I could ask permission to come and help her to set up in the administrative part about doing different classes and stuff with the pastors and presenting the program to the pastors. So I asked Andrew and Wendell, and they concurred. They asked, you know, gave me permission to, as a third year student, do part of that third year by going back and helping her. So myself and another friend of hers and friend of ours went back to Colombia to do that. And so basically, that started the process now in January of 2007. Right? Mm-hmm. So they continued to do that. We presented it to different pastors, Rhema pastors. Rhema Bible School is very known there in Colombia and some of the other South American countries. But anyway, so we presented to them. They accepted. So I sat down with a calendar, basically a two-year calendar, and I programmed out that she would teach basically four lessons a month. For them, they could use the four lessons for each one of their Sundays to teach to their own congregations or leadership or whatever. Use it as they would. And so went through this and spelled it all out, and they accepted the program. And so finished my work there, and I left and went back to the States, back to Colorado, finished my my third year apprenticeship. So I had the calendar, so people that knew her with regards to that she was what she was doing and everything else, they said, "Hey, can I go down and help Susan teach discipleship and help her?" I said, "Sure. You know, what time do you have?" And if you go during these times, it'll be, you know, be able to help her the most by, because I had the calendar when she was teaching and everything else. So basically, I was just back, you know, doing my third year, and then when people would ask me, I would coordinate with them and help them and send her people. So remember I said, God said to me, do your third year and I'll take care of the rest? Okay, so it comes about that May, I'm helping with the graduation. Everything's finished. Graduation's over. And I'm helping to clean up and everything else. I'm headed back to my apartment and I hear this little voice. Hey, third year's over. What are you going to do now? Where are you going? What are you going to do? And I says, I'm just going to do... Let me stop. Because before then, I had planned... the pastor that was working with her had asked me to gather, do a group, and bring a group in July because she was having a healing crusade and with this evangelist and healing evangelist and everything else, and wanted if I could get a team and come down and help her during that, and plus help her with the rest part of the discipleship teaching that month. I said, sure. You know, so I had coordinated, got all that straightened out, had all that prepared. So when I hear this little voice and everything else, and says, I was working for the ministry in the prayer line at the time. So I says, well, I'm going to continue doing what, you know, God's called me to do, work here in the ministry, the prayer line, and stuff like that. So that's what I'm going to do and focus on Him and whatever, you know, He has for me. So I continued doing that. And so July comes around, and I take the team. We go down. We work with her, with Susan, the evangelist, and the team. We had a great time. A lot of neat things, a lot of neat healings and stuff took place. We finished off the month by teaching the evangelistic evangelism classes and everything for Susan. And I remember it was July 23rd, a Monday. We had finished in Kennedy, one of the suburbs in, there in Bogota. And we were at the pastor's home there, and we had just finished eating, and just like, you know, usually, you know, you sit around, you talk about, you know, the events of the day, how did it go, you know, what those things. So eventually the pastora, she went to the kitchen and started doing some things. The other team members, they went to get on the, you know, telephone, Skype, and that kind of thing. So it was just left Susan and I, like, you know, many times before, and we just started talking. So all of a sudden, my focus when I went back for school was God. That was it. I didn't have, you know, that was my focus, because God was restoring me. He was, you know, he was putting Humpty Dumpty back together. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in that manner. So I had no other, you know, interest in that. So for the first time, all of a sudden, and I turned and I looked at Susan and I was about to ask her a question, and the Holy Spirit says, this is the woman that I have prepared for you. So for the first time, my eyes were opened in a different way. I looked at her in a different way. And then I said, well, Susan, this is what I feel that the Lord has said. You're the person God has prepared for me. And then I stepped back a little bit because I thought, praise God, it wasn't. But she says, well, you know, it had been God, because I told God, you know, after what I've been through, I didn't have time for dogs or men. And if he had somebody for me, he was going to have to bring him to me and present him to me and throw himself at me. So I went. So, but the thing about it was that started everything. And it was kind of ironic in a sense, because I told you it was July 23rd, that was a Monday. On July 25th, a Wednesday, the team and I were scheduled to go back to the United States. So here she is. You brought him into my life, now you take him out of my life? Come on now. So anyway, it's been like that as far as, you know, God continued. People started asking, oh, so when are you going to get engaged? I said, when God tells me. And says, so we got engaged in October. We went. It was her youngest daughter was graduating from culinary school in Chicago, and all the family was gathering together. So he says, that's when you want to give her engagement ring. And so I did. And so, well, when are you going to get married? Well, when God tells me. So the Lord says, December 30th of this year, I want you to marry. So December 30th, we were married. And going back to God's clock, see, God said, I will take care of the rest. Mm-hmm. And when He says something, He's faithful to it. You know, we can't be cut off by just natural time and those kind of things. He's always on time. And that's what He's done for us and for our ministry as far as that. You know, many of you will be going into different sorts of ministry, different types of ministry. And praise God, that's a beautiful thing. But what He's done for us is He's opened doors. We haven't been, you know, trying to knock down doors or anything else. He's been the one to, little by little, we started in Colombia. And through Colombia, we met some people. We were invited to Costa Rica. From Costa Rica, we were invited to Ecuador. From Ecuador, we were invited, to Peru. From Peru, we've been invited to, you know, again, to go to Ecuador, Colombia, Nicaragua. And then it started opening into Russia, Switzerland, India, Ireland, Scotland. And so, and now here in England. So God's been the one who's been opening the doors, you know, one step at a time as He's brought us and taken us to different places. And how He's provided. You know, many people ask, and that's a good question. Okay. You can't get there by flapping your wings, you know, kind of thing. It takes, you know, it takes resources. This is the way that I explain it, and because I've learned that we can't limit God. You know, there are those that we know personally, okay, that they do what I believe is called itinerizing. In other words, they go
itinerate.
Okay, they go from, you know, different places, different churches, and through offerings and those kind of things, you know, God's providing for them, and that's perfect, you know, because that's what God has told them to do. And for us, God said He would be the provider. Mm-hmm. So we never, you know, we never go anywhere. The conferences that we do, the seminars that we do with them, we always pay for the material. If there we have to rent a lot, you know, a place, we pay for that and everything else. And we never ask for the offerings. They take an offering, that's fine. If we don't, that's fine too. You know,
and half the time He gives it back to them.
Well, it's the Lord leads, so you know. But what God has done is that He's brought faithful people to just come up to Him and says, you know, God just put upon my heart to support you this next year, you know, every month. And praise God. And I said, that's wonderful. Thank you very much. I never ask Him how much or whatever. My daughter takes care of our finances and everything else. And so, you know, we see this coming in. But then, they, you know, some of them come and they said, you know, I believe that the Lord is for this next year. God has put another ministry in my heart. Please, praise God. You know, follow your heart. Follow what God is telling you to do. And one will go and He'll bring two more. And, you know, those kind of things like that. But again, let me clarify. That's what God has told us. And, you know, how He's doing for us. It's not to say that the other is incorrect or bad. No, it's what God is doing with them and how God is doing it through them and those manners.
And when we were ordained, Andrew just prayed for us, and the words that came from everywhere were where he would give us what we needed, and we would have enough to give away. So when we go to these Latin American countries, they don't have much of anything, and when we leave, He gives the people we came to offerings. I mean, not only do we not charge them, sometimes they give us an offering, but He blesses them when we leave. So not only are we getting enough for us, but He's passing it around. And it comes from the craziest places that you would never imagine. Yeah. Even when we're talking about how do we see ministry. And one of my ex-brother-in-laws is gay. And I just began to send little things from Andrew to him. And then I began to just give him a little, we always write a newsletter, and in our newsletter we have a teaching. So if you want to sign up for that, he'll tell you how to do that in a minute. And one day I sent him the mere word, and it's Arthur Menches has a friend from South Africa. And he wrote, it's a New Testament version, and it's not totally complete because he's just been writing it as he goes, and it's, someone just said, you've got to publish this now. And it's just basically seeing yourself as one with Jesus. It's when you see the mirror, you see yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's the whole thing, it takes the Greek and Hebrew and brings you into that that tone. So I sent him a mere word, and he was so amazed. You know, all this time everybody's telling me he's this. And one day we got a check in the mail, and it came from him. No explanation, nothing. But it's, you know, something set me free. And he's walked away from it. He's always been a Christian. He really is getting a fresh vision. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it just fuels itself. I don't know how it happens. I don't know how it does. God just does it. And so it's that's the way he does it for us.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the ministry, you know, areas and things, I really always encourage each and every person that we share with in those areas, and especially the third year students in those areas, is because you're the next ones that are going to be, you know, going out. But relationships with people is the most powerful thing. You know, the countries that we go to, I mean, as I told you, you know, where we started and those kind of things, that's our biggest thing, is that we try to develop the relationships with the pastors there, with their congregations, with their families and everything. I mean, we have one pastor family in Ecuador that, hey, he says, that's Mickey and Susan's room. You know, they have a place in their home that they consider, this is your room when you come. You don't have to worry about anything, and those kind of things. And others in other places, in Colombia and Costa Rica and different places. But it's just been by what? Because we love to relate to people, we love to develop relationships with people and stuff. And in turn, this pastor speaks to this pastor, speaks to that pastor, and you know, then that's how God opens the doors. That's how God uses the different ones to, you know, to promote us. But we don't promote ourselves. It's through relationship building that we get to know the different pastors, the different congregations and pastors' associations and everything else. And it happens at the craziest times, you know, that he brings these things into our craziest times for us, but it's his perfect time for him. So, but
and a lot of the relationship comes from the student body we graduated from. Mm-hmm. We graduated with John and Abby. Some people here know them, and they. In turn went and started a school in Toronto down the road, so then they invite us to go to Toronto. And then maybe we meet somebody here and, you know, 5 years later you said, wow, I'm starting a school. Come and talk in my school. Mm-hmm. So we go to the school. And we also, in the beginning of the year, we still take some teams to South America. Because in South America, if you say, well, who ordained you? Andrew Womack, who's that? Because they don't have it on TV. Mm-hmm. And so they're real, they want some credentials. So we began speaking and they invite us back. But they really don't understand the totality of the ministry. So we take students with us to those places. And that just re-solidifies the fact that there's something behind Andrew Womack that's really good. Mm-hmm. But we meet students on these mission trips, just like we're meeting you. And then they'll say, wow. Come, I've started, one of the students started a school in Washington, D.C. Come and minister in my school. So, really, your fellow classmates is one of your biggest connections, because the connections are huge.
And I just share this as a testimony on how God is able to use each and every one of us. Every time, you know, when we go back to Colorado, we'd like to schedule an appointment to talk with Andrew, just kind of update him and just him to update us in a sense. And I says, you know, we're always promoting you when we are in Central and South America, because they don't know you in that area. And says, you know, so we do, when we go, we, you know, give out his books and everything else. We were in Nicaragua not too long ago, this last trip that we did. We left
August.
In August and came back in September. And we went to three, Nicaragua, Ecuador, and Colombia. But when we were in Nicaragua, we got to see this other pastor. Well, his pastor is in Esteli, and his ministry is, he has a radio and television station. So he gets, you know, we get to talking and everything else, and he says, you know, do you have anything, you know, from Andrew? Because we've given him some books and stuff. Do you have anything from them that is in Spanish and stuff? He says, yeah, we got some things that he's been, you know, the Gospel Truth seminars, the Gospel Truth Hour that he does every day, or half hour. You do? Yeah.
It's been dubbed into Spanish.
So, yeah, it's been, you know, translated in Spanish and stuff. And he says, oh, well, can you get it to me? Sure. You know, so I gave him the thing. He puts it up. And before we left that day, he says, go listen to him. He's already got it, you know, because he's got the television program 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and everything else. So he's put it in the television, his program, as strategic hours during where the family times are at and everything else. So I emailed Andrew and I said, look, here's what happened. I hope it's all right and I hope you don't mind, but I didn't get permission from you first. He says, no, continue, you know. And just to let him know, now he's being broadcast throughout all Nicaragua.
Amen.
So, but just, you know, one door opens and stuff like that, and the particular ministry and particular person is in this kind of, you know, that is able to do things that, you know, it might have cost many dollars to maybe do that. Didn't cost anything.
And he's also told us we would be connectors to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So because we've gotten to know people in South America, maybe one day we meet a pastor in Ecuador and he doesn't have much of a fellowship base
like
with other people
fellowship
around him. And so we've been able to connect him with the guy in Nicaragua or Costa Rica who calls him every week, and they chat over these things, and they have seminars in three countries coming from this one place. And we just are able to, okay, well, we can't be there, but he could be there because we've met the craziest people in the craziest places. And we find out a little bit about them. So
as long as you continue to follow your heart and what he's put in there, he'll direct your path.
Mm.
And you know, sometimes we tradition, at least for me, and tradition and church customs and stuff like that. He says, "Oh no, you got to stay on that path, and you got to be, you know, on that path. You got to have that plan A, because if you get over here on this thing, you'll lose the thing." Guess what? When you divert yourself and stuff like that, guess what God is? He's there with you too. And he'll bring you back onto your path.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be anxious for anything. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, you know, that to go off on different paths that you know that you don't need to go on.
Right.
But I'm saying when we do get, you know, out of that path that he has for us, no matter where we are, he's there with us, and he'll bring us right back into that area.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have things in our minds that, you know, let me just share with you in this little brief testimony. It was 1988 that I did my first mission trip to Costa Rica. It was August 8th of 1988, and there was eight people on our team.
Never forgets eight.
The number eight is new beginnings, right? Okay. Well, I thought I had died and gone to heaven, you know, because I went there and I'd never been on a mission trip. In fact, I was saved in 1979, so we're talking about a little over 10, you know, what, 9 years, okay? So I just went like, you know, God, whatever I can do, I don't care if I have to wash dishes, or I have to, you know, clean house, or whatever I can do for these missionaries, some missionaries that we knew that were living in Costa Rica at the time and stuff, whatever I can do to help, that's all I want to do. That's the attitude that I had. I, you know, as far as teaching or anything like that, that was far from me. But I went, and I thought, like I said, I thought I had died and gone to heaven, because it was the most beautiful time that I had. And the opportunities that God opened up for me to pray for people and do different things, I washed dishes and I did different things too. But it was a joy to help that you know, that missionary family in their home, and, you know, with their housework and those kind of things. And the praying for people, that was just, you know, the cherry on top of the, you know, the cake kind of thing. And then the missionary pastor there, he says, we're gonna, you know, we've got five new believers that just got, you know, just received Christ, and we're gonna do a baptism. Would you mind doing the baptism? I thought, oh my gosh, you know. So a friend of mine and I did the baptism. I'll never forget, we were in a little creek, okay, and the creek had this much water in it. Now, how do you baptize a person, submerge him in that much water? Well, we found a place that had a little sinkhole. And then he and I kneeled down in each side. And we brought the people in, they knelt down, or they sat down, and we submerged them in. And that was, you know, to me, it was awesome. As a result of that, the pastor had asked me to come the following year because he wanted to take his family home to the United States to get to know the grandparents, because some of the kids had been born, they'd never seen their grandparents or anything else. He'd been on the mission field that long. And so I said, well, I was working for an analytical laboratory at the time. And I said, I've got 4 weeks coming up next year, but that's as much as I got. I can give you that. He says, I'll take that. You know. So in July of 1989, I went back, and I'm Spanish speaking. And the Lord led him and his wife to open up a church in Limon, which is on the port, on the Gulf port of Costa Rica, and to minister to the English-speaking people in that community. Well, there's a lot of Nicaraguans in that 88 time frame, okay, 89 time frame, that they were escaping out of Nicaragua because of the communism regime that was there. And so most of his church was made up of elderly and young people, and from maybe 20, 18, 16, and then children and stuff. And so as I was there with them, they had a refugee camp, and we would go into the refugee camp and minister there. And then we also had services in his church that he had, kind of a little storefront church in town. And you talk about thinking that I had died and gone to heaven? Yeah, I really thought I had died and gone to heaven. Because not only did I were able to minister during those times and everything else, but I used to have, you know, a lot of the young men that he was discipling and stuff over to his house where we were staying. And we would talk, you know, my wife would fix lunch or something like that. And then they get to talk in their own native tongue. And they would tell me about the stories, how they had, you know, had to flee and had to walk three weeks in the jungle to get out of Nicaragua, and to, you know, how they ended up. So it was a time that I developed relationships with them. And so after this, we finished the month, and I thought, okay, this is what God has called me to do. I'm going to be a missionary. But I had a closed mind about what a missionary is. I thought, God calls you to a particular country, you go to a particular country, you establish a church or establish a ministry, and you're there until maybe God calls you home, or he calls you to another country. That's my vision of a missionary. Well, time went by, and God opened the door for me, where there was no door, to enter into full-time ministry as a pastor in my church, as an associate pastor. And 2 years later, I started a church, a Spanish-speaking church, which I was the senior pastor of. And so from that, I began to, you know, to minister on a more daily basis kind of thing. A friend of mine asked me, he says, how are you, you know, because I was still had the mentality of a missionary. So he comes, and after one of our board meetings that we had every month, he comes and asks me, he says, Mickey, how do you, you know, how are you liking, how are you adapting to your position and everything else? I says, I'm loving it. And he says, how many times when you were missions director did you go out on the field? And I said, well, usually I took, you know, maybe one always, but maybe two. Sometimes 1 year I took three teams out. So what did you like most about ministering, you know, about the mission trip? Just ministering and working with people. And he says, he looked at me right in the eye and says, isn't that something? Now you get to do that every day. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden the light went on. That God had called me, you know, sure, he put that in my heart, but now he was training me up in a pastoral area where I can minister to people on an everyday type basis. And that's been my love, you know, since I was a young child, is to be with people and to work with people and everything else. So to conclude this, okay, I thought now, okay, I'm a pastor. That's what I'll be doing for the rest of my life. Remember, I ask you, what is your vision? What is your passion? Okay? I grew up a military, my dad was in the military, an army brat. So I got to know different cultures. Remember when I first came in here the first day, I started asking each one of you where you came from, where, you know. Because I love people from different parts of the country, from all parts of the world. We're all God's creation, you know. And it's a beautiful thing to get to know brothers and sisters from all over the world. And so, as God trained me for 10 years pastoring, starting a new church and everything else, and what he taught me in those areas, then when the time came, he brought back into my life the passion that he had given to me back in 1988. Missions. But my view of missions was like I told you. You go to a particular country and that's where you serve. But he says, no, my son. He says, look again. I'm opening the world to you. That's where I've called you to. That's your mission field, the world. And so sometimes we have a tendency to limit God. What was he doing all along this period of time? He was training me up as a pastor because the ministry that he's called us to is to work with pastors and church leaders, predominantly. We work with their congregations, we work with anybody and everybody, okay? But that's the calling that we have, to help them. Like my brother right here was talking about, you know, he called to the Christians that don't have that understanding, they don't have that revelation. And there are many pastors in church congregations and pastors associations and church leaders that don't have that revelation. So that's where our calling is. Because through them, then we can influence many in that area. So as, you know, we sometimes forget and we limit God because we have a particular perception of what this ministry or this ministry is. Ministry is everywhere and everywhere. When you step out of your home, and even many times in your own home, it's ministry. Because God wants to use you to flow through you. So let us not limit God in any way. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, I just thank you and I praise you now, Father, in the name of Jesus. As I just pray blessings, your blessing, your continued blessings upon each and every one here, Father. Lord, I just thank you for them. I thank you that we were able to impart and sow seeds into their heart, Father, where your Holy Spirit brings the watering to it. And Father, you give the increase, Father, as each one individually, brothers and sisters, your sons and daughters, Father, that you're raising up for your honor, for your glory, for what purpose, what destiny, what calling that you have called them to, what passion that you have put upon their hearts, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you're opening doors that no man can close, that you're guiding them and directing them, Father, that they can walk in your rest each and every day of their lives, Father, seeking you by your Holy Spirit. And Father, following your gentle and sweet and wonderful voice, Father, being led to be used of you to do great marvelous things around the world for your kingdom, Father, for your honor and for your glory. Lord, this I proclaim and this I say in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Lord bless you all.